Okay, so everybody, hopefully we're connected. I don't really like counting numbers, but I will tell you there were over 80 people listening last night via the live web stream. And of course we have several here that are in our local group. And as Diane was singing, I kept hearing the word temporary. And when we read our main verse for this weekend that Linda Waring provided, hi Linda and Barry and everybody else, but Linda had sent me a verse and I just want to say it again. She sent it during August seminar and I didn't hear anything at the time, but when I get insight from people that I know are listening, that I know are really following closely to what is being revealed, you know, here, I always file them for the next time we get together. I put, and then I make many recordings between those times and I throw them all in a basket and then I go through and shuffle them around. So I got done preparing the first lesson of this series, which is entitled The Kingdom Within. And last night we shared that. And we start out with some good titles, but The Kingdom Within begins when we discover the dark places of the heart. And so how does the word temporary fit into that? And I'm going to tell you how. We've heard so much truth till it's running out our ears. And I feel that words spoken without clear explanation only provide temporary relief in a world that's passing away. And I don't want to do that. And so I think it's one reason that we need to be redundant, because where we've been living, and when you read this verse, we've discovered where we're living, and that's that we have so many temporary footholds from this octopus we talked about last night. There are so many temporary footholds that it's actually has become our life. And when there's legions of them, you can't see through the fog. And so that's why I believe this verse is so crucial, and I want to read it again. It says, "Your Holy Spirit illuminates the dark places of the heart of your servant with light like the sun. I look to the covenants made by men, worthless. Only your truth shines, and those who love it are wise and walk in the glow of your light. From darkness you raise hearts. Let light shine on your servant. Your light is everlasting." Now, we said last night, I'm going to say it again because this is the theme. We like that the Holy Spirit illuminates us. But I don't want temporary illumination. I want to go into next week when the issues that hopefully you've left at home, maybe you brought them with you today. Okay, here. Okay. I don't know if I can change that. We'll have to fix that. But when the issues that we brought in with us or we've left at home follow you around, we're really not getting any relief. And temporary relief regarding those issues, a piece of truth that makes you feel good for a little while but then goes away, isn't working. That doesn't work. So I say you're righteous, well, big deal. Charles Manson probably thinks he's righteous too, okay? I'm sure he does. So just telling you you're righteous can only be received by your ego. If I say you're righteous, you say, well, why did it take you so long to figure that out, you know? And we just don't understand that there's been all these words. And we learned yesterday the kingdom of God is not words and thoughts, but it's joy and peace and righteousness. And so if we don't, and righteousness was at the beginning. So if we don't understand righteousness, we're certainly not going to understand joy and peace. And James 4 said the wisdom from above is first pure and then peace follows. So what is this wisdom? And this verse is full of it. And to me, the key part today I want to focus on that can seem earth-shattering to us. When we first hear this, and when we talk about a lot of the things we're going to talk about today, you're going to feel judgment. You're going to feel judgment. And you're going to think, I'm judging you. But I'm going to tell you right now a truth that you've got to understand. The only place you ever feel judgment can only come from your own understanding. It can only come from your own mind. It doesn't come from someone else's mind. I don't care what they call you or what they say to you. How you process it is where the judgment comes from. It doesn't come from God because He says He's judging you in righteousness and it don't get any better than that. And if you see conflict or somebody comes and corrects you and you say, oh, I don't want conflict or, you know, I don't want to be disconnected, well, the conflict and disconnection is coming from your own mind. It isn't coming from what was said. Maybe you need to listen. So we need to listen. And at the end, we're going to talk more about that. So, how do we get away from this stab of joy, C.S. Lewis called it, or this temporary nirvana that we seem to like, you know, which Rex is riding motorcycles, mine's being on the beach with my wife and a Corona, you know, and the perfect temperature 24/7. The sun never goes down, right? I mean, you got a beautiful view of the mountains. New Zealand's like that. It's a little chilly down there, but wasn't quite as warm as I wanted it. But I mean, talk about unbelievable atmosphere. Australia's beautiful. I want to move out of it, okay? I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to us. And the part of this verse that really struck me, it says, from darkness you raise hearts. Whoa. That feels like judgment, doesn't it? When you first hear it. From darkness you raise hearts. Well, I believe that, but it's out there somewhere. It's out there. You know, he says it's from the heart. And it first says, your only Holy Spirit illuminates us only when the dark places of our hearts are revealed. Only when they're revealed. And so last night we said, can we quit defending our ego and just open our hearts up and say, Father, teach me, thy servant listeneth. Expose. And I've said this a long time ago, and I didn't say it. The Spirit showed it to me. I got to the end of my rope, and I've got there several times since then. And now I'm not afraid to get to the end. Now I'm searching for the end of my rope. But at the beginning, I was running from it. Like that commercial with the guy that quit smoking, and he uses his last match to light the dynamite fuse that's 200 foot long. Then he realized he wants another cigarette before it blows off. And he goes chasing after the fuse, trying to light his cigarette, and he gets right up the dynamite and it blows off. See? That's what we're doing when we're trying to defend the dark places of our heart. Well, it says we're talking about the mind here. It's the heart of man. It's not your soul, the heart of God. And the whole problem is you don't have two hearts. There's only one real you. Well, that's the good news. But it says you can't find the real you until you see the darkness. And so you've said, well, yeah, I've experienced darkness, thank you very much, and that's over with. And you can't ever say that to any degree. You can't measure that. Because a man that's running for the end of his rope has always got a open heart, and he's in a continual state of repentance. Repentance isn't something you do, it's a state of mind. We're continually open to hear. Now, you can't hear a thing if you're consumed in your world with some circumstance. And we talked about last month, and we said last night again, one of the keys to entering the kingdom is to let go of the answers to the issues of life. The issues of life aren't the problem. It's you're running after this fuse that's hooked to a piece of dynamite. And you want an answer before it blows off. And you really want your answer. You're not open to either way. And that's the problem, isn't it? That's the dilemma right there. So there's what's blocking you. There's a dark place of the heart. You've decided what's right for you and your world, and you're looking for a God then to give you that answer to your problem. And there's no God out there to help with that. And that's the reason there's all the turmoil in the world. And that's why we've got to get off all this stuff, the healing, the money, all of it. Go ahead and work. Do your thing. But now you're being directed in joy while you're doing the things. There's nothing wrong with you if you're experiencing ill effects with the body. There's nothing wrong with you. And people have said that, and I get very frustrated when I hear teachers say these things, because it's full of condemnation and judgment, and it's 7,000-year-old teaching to say that if you understand truth, you won't experience difficulties in this world. That's one of the biggest lies I've ever heard. And I've had trouble getting others that surround us to understand that, because they want to gather together in a room and meditate their brains out, which that's a good thing, but they think it's going to change this world out here. And Jesus says, my kingdom does not come by observation, period. So when will you get off of it and get out of this temporary heaven? When will you get off of the thing? Let go of it. Let go of the answer. Let go of the answer you want for your situation, and you will find peace there. There'll be peace there because it no longer matters which way it goes. Isn't that something? That's such a simple thing. And he said, if you got to be like a little child to enter the kingdom, and I remember as a little boy, I didn't worry about anything except my mom nailing me, you know. But I was having a ball, okay? When I wasn't around other people and my brother and I were out creating life, we never sat in front of a TV, we just had a ball. And we weren't worried about dinner. We weren't worried about paying no bills. We weren't worried about any of that stuff. And then we grow up and life becomes more complicated. Now what happens, we learned last time with the birth of the ego, is as we grow up, the reflection of those around us builds the tentacles that is called our ego. This octopus is our ego. It builds all these tentacles that become attachments that we stabilize by our thought processes. It's called the world in the Bible, and we really should change the to your, because you're not going to get any help if you think it's that world out there. Jesus says, I'm going to leave the world now and go to the Father. Jesus had to overcome the world, or he would have never said that. If he came out of the womb overcoming the world, why would he announce it? He was born in hell as a man and had to overcome the world just like us. And he said, I'm going to leave the world now and go to the Father. And that's exactly what he did, and he did it right then. And he did it by letting go of the answers to the issues in front of him. And I'm sure he struggled with it. There's no question that he struggled with it. We know that. It said right before Calvary that he sweat great drops of blood and he wanted out. Well, that was the man struggling with reality. See? And that was hell for him. And that's why I say it's a revolving door. We need to know what the front side of the door to the kingdom says, and we need to know what the back side, because the kingdom to hell is on this. The entrance to hell is on the kingdom side, isn't it? There's a marker over it. It says, enter here if you want something. Enter here if you're going to ask God for something. Enter here if you're going to pray for something. Isn't that funny? I think it's called a church. Enter here. Enter here to eat from the good side of the wrong tree, which is the hidden side. Enter here. And as soon as you do, you're consumed by the issues of life, whether it's one or like legions, it could be thousands. And the guy had so many, he was sitting outside cutting his flesh. He just wanted to die. He was in torment, it said. And it said he was not in his right mind. So when we enter through that door, once we taste of the kingdom, we're not in our right mind. It is insanity. Because instead of going within, like we talked about last night, going within to find the answer, we're now looking without to find an answer to this problem we have. That's the dark places, a dark place of the heart that needs to be exposed. So I've discovered we've got to tear down these walls of judgment. Right? Well, that's why this verse is so wonderful. Because if I just get excited when I said the Holy Spirit illuminates with light, and he says, and those who love it are wise and walk in the light, and your light is everlasting, I've left half the verse out. And that's the only part we like. That's the only part the ego likes, okay, is those parts. It don't like the other parts, so it skips over that. Doesn't it? Skips right over it. When that's what we need to be focusing on. We need to run for the flame. We need to run for the end of our rope that's burning. And you've got a rope burning with every situation in your life. There's a rope burning. And you need to go there and say, okay, I'm made out of titanium, so if it blows up, it doesn't matter. Okay? We're like weebles. We're spiritual weebles. Okay? Doesn't matter what happens, right? What does a weevil do? It wobbles and it weebles, but it don't fall down, right? Now, wouldn't you like maybe to not fall down quite so much? Is your head getting out of whack a little bit and your neck getting a little crooked because of all of it? I mean, geez, we're like a bobblehead doll in the back of a car, okay? What's that? What's going on here? What's this? What's that? I don't know about that. I don't know about this. And we never shut up. We just don't shut up. It's just thing after thing after thing. And we can't wait, and we can't listen, and we can't be still. So, from darkness, you raise hearts. Not from light, you raise hearts. Wow, isn't that something? From darkness you raise hearts. Bingo. From darkness. Expose the darkness. Expose the tentacles. So I've discovered I want to begin a new movement. Okay? And it's the development of a new language. I'd like to redefine some words, which I think we need to do. This history of our ego, the history of our ego, has molded us into personalities that are trapped within a wilderness called time. And how do I know this? How do I know this? Because I've discovered that my own definition of light, of life, has been mostly an attempt to bring change into my world. Especially when you're a businessman and you're doing 10,000 things, okay? Now, when I go in to work and concerns come to me, I smile. Last night, when all hell broke loose right before the meetings, I smiled. Because every time things stir up, it seems there's something wonderful, a beautiful nugget just waiting around the corner. So the noisier it gets, the more excited I get. Because I'm going to peek around that corner and find that nugget if it kills me. I'm going to peek around that corner and find out what the darkness of the heart is hiding. I want to know. Now I want to know. That's why I run for it. And that's why we must realize that problems are opportunities when we let go of the answer to the problems. And what's it an opportunity for? To wait, to listen for the voice that will direct you, that will every time direct you. And if you've got to go sit in a closet for a week to get this figured out, then you better do it. If you've never heard from the Father on what to do, and listen, God isn't in the what to do business. But this spirit inside you will direct you only in silence. Only when you let go of the answer. Only when you let go of your answer. The answer you want. You have to let go of that. You cannot hear. Because if you're determined that this is the answer you want, you'll be fighting for your answer instead of listening to the Father. That's the turmoil that comes from that. In this work, where I've been trying to bring change to my definition of life, okay, in this work, I found no peace, little gentleness, because I'm always waiting for something to happen. Tomorrow. It isn't here yet. I'm waiting for something to happen 5 minutes from now. Or I'm waiting for good news tomorrow. Or I'm waiting for good news a week from now. Or usually if you want good news, you really want it in a couple minutes. You just wish the phone would ring off the hook with good news all the time because you got so many problems. When would this something happen I'm waiting for? How would it happen? Would it be what I needed? Would it come at the right time? Or would it ever come? Question after question comes. And I discovered that in every question, it was wrapped with something that was called a fear for tomorrow. Because that's exactly where I was living. How will we escape our hope for the future when there is none? There is no future and a hope. That's misunderstood scripture. It's probably correct, but we just misapply it. There's no future and a hope. There's no future for tomorrow. There's no hope for tomorrow because tomorrow never gets here. The future never comes. There's no such thing as the future. And we spent hours in August focusing on that. That if you're waiting for something to happen in the future, you're stuck in time. And you're going nowhere as fast as you can. Because you can't get an answer fast enough to your dilemma. And then right away you say, boy, I'm glad that's over. And it isn't long and another one comes and you're right back to where you were. And we call in between the two heaven. So how will we escape this dream? We become stuck in a realm that's looking for change. And here, you're a spiritual creature seeking something in an outer world. And as long as you're looking at it this way, you're living a life that separates you from the realization of the Father within you. So as soon as you look for answers to your problems, you become separated. You go back through the door. If you ever get on this side of the door, if you ever even get there. But I loved what Bob Hughes said last time. He said, in heavens, nothing's happening. And if you're a real, real busy person, that probably scares you to death. If you like being busy, I'm somebody's task-oriented. I like being busy. I mean, what does that mean? Does that mean we're going to sit around and pluck a harp on a cloud for all eternity? No, it means it's so far beyond. Scripture says that my ways are so far beyond your ways, you could never comprehend them in this world. Never comprehend them. So, I don't want to be separated from my Father, because I've tasted that and I like it. I've been through the door. And I didn't go through the door because I did something. So don't say that there's something good about me. Jesus said, don't call me good. I've been through the door because I've looked at a lot of ends of rope burning. And I've realized that's not working. I said, Father, something's wrong with this. Something's not right about this. And the first time I said it, I walked out of the church. And how many ropes you think I've watched burn since then? Because that happened 20 years ago when I said, this doesn't work. So to begin this movement beyond the appearance of time, I want to redefine a couple of words, and there might be many more, but I want to redefine a couple of words that will help us change the definition or eliminate the word. And the first one's guilt. Guilt should not be a word in the kingdom of God. Guilt is a feeling that comes from the ego. God doesn't feel guilty. God isn't producing guilt. And so we try to smother that over with talk about atonement and absolution, and Jesus did it all, and all to him I owe, but we're miserable. So I'm not sure what that's doing for me. But we talk about atonement and absolution, but they've all been centered around one thing, and it's called the forgiveness of sins. But it's really the forgiveness of an ego. And a forgiven ego is still living in an egocentric world, isn't it? It still leaves you subject to bondage. Because most people that use the word guilt and forgiveness can use them every day, or every other day, or once a week, or the Catholics go and do confession. So they can get rid of their guilt temporarily. And then it starts to build again, you know, and they got to go back again. And somehow I've stood in front of priests, and I've been to Episcopal Church, and they would say, I absolve you of your sin. They would say that. I absolve you of your sin. Hand me $50, okay? Yeah, $1,000 if it's a big one, right? Or deed, give me the deed to your house. They did that, actually. So forgiveness and guilt are the language of little children that it talks about in 1 John. It's a little childlike faith. And what's it talking about? It's talking about this thing that's separated from the Father. You are the Father. You're nothing else. And if you're a creature that's been given the Father, and you're seeking something outside when he says, I'm all you need, then you're trying to screw something onto all, and it's already full, and it don't fit. So if we stay in this elementary understanding of what is said, we stay trapped within a forgiven body that feels guilty all the time. And so we become consumed about a body. And, of course, a healthy body. And none of these things come from God. None of it's coming from God. It's all coming from up here. It's all part of the imaginations, the vain imaginations. Vain, all about the body. What do I want? How do I feel? So if we're stuck in this realm of forgiveness, it's not something that God created. I don't want to believe in something Jesus did for me, because I find that to be temporary. I need to know the truth that frees me from this bondage. And every word he said was the truth that frees us from the bondage. Not what he did. What he did, as we said last night, is icing on the cake. But it's not the cake. It's not the meat of righteousness. So, and so here, we feel forgiven. We feel like a forgiven and at times, and we feel like a forgiven but guilty ego. That's sort of what forgiveness does for you, is it? Produces the guilt. Because if you need forgiveness, you did something wrong and you feel guilty about what you need forgiveness for, and it's a merry-go-round. It's a picture we're painting on the canvas called time. And Joel called it a dream. He said it's a dream fabric. But it's not a dream to you. To you, it's reality. There's the problem. To us, it's reality. Do the words guilt and forgiveness really produce peace? It sounds sort of cowering to me, you know, and waiting to maybe get hit by something, you know. What did I do? I always felt like God was trying to get me when I was little, because my mom would say things to me. I never believed that till every time I turned the corner, she told me I was going to hell. So I got over the fear of hell pretty young, because I heard it 1,000 times, and I said, she's got to be nuts, because it hasn't happened yet. You know, because if it's going to happen, I sure got to be there, because I did everything she said that was going to send me to hell. And I kept doing it, even when she told me. And I thought, God, I'm hopeless, you know. At 13, I figured that out. So maybe that was a good thing. Maybe that's part of the darkness I needed to hear. I don't know. Anyway, I'd want to get off that merry-go-round, and I don't struggle with those terms too much anymore, to be honest with you, but I just want to make sure. It's coming up because someone needs to hear that, okay? Somebody needs to hear that. And this kind of a life, if it doesn't produce peace, it's death. It's one or the other. And so David said it. He said, my heart, there's the word heart again. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Now here we go again, Mike. What do you got to use those kind of words for? Can't we come up with a little softer translation? You think? Something that sounds a little nicer that the ego likes? And I think if we're going to follow the main verse, we can't do that, right? That's why I love the main verse. Right? That's why I love the main verse. We got to go back to the main verse now. I got to go back and remind you. From darkness you raise hearts. We got to find out what the darkness is, guys. And don't ever say to me, you've been there and you've done that and it's over. Don't ever say that. Because as soon as you say it, I know you're still there. Okay? And if I don't say something to you, it means really I'm not in agreement. Okay? Because I'm not going to argue with anybody about anything. Because I don't want to lose the joy and peace I'm living at now. And I've been forced into it because I had 5,000 things in my cave. Being in the kind of business I'm in. Okay? And they're still walking in with cave talk. All the time. And now I'm just smiling and I just wait. And if something doesn't come to me right away, I said, you know, we're going to figure this out, and, you know, I'll get back with you, okay? And I wait. Isn't that something? Just simple. I just wait. And I smile. And I'll tell you what, we had a big one. Just my big one was going on when Rex's big one was, and it had all these zeros screwed onto the end of it. And the father said to Rex one thing, and he said me to another, but they were all the same thing. To Rex, he said, well, you wouldn't care if you were a dead man. And God said to me, since I'm in the middle of my business, he says, well, if you just take off all the zeros, it wouldn't bother you, would you? Because it reduced it down to a dollar when I took all the zeros off. Okay? He says it's all relative, Mike. He says it's all relative. It doesn't matter whether it's a dollar or $100 million. Take the zeros off. Yeah, that ain't even a big tip. That's right. He just said, well, take all the zeros off. Isn't that pretty good wisdom? Now, he wasn't doing something for me. He was exposing the darkness because I'm willing to listen, right? And you want to listen. Everybody wants to listen that's hearing me speak right now. Everybody wants to listen. My heart was sore pained. Every time I'm trying to find an answer to my problems, my heart's in pain. My heart is sore pained, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. So we've got to redefine what death is. We've got to get rid of the words guilt and forgiveness. Get them out of your vocabulary. Let's grow up. I don't mean that to insult anybody. I mean, let's get off ourselves. Get out of your own way, Dan Stone said. If you want to be successful, get out of the way. Get out of your own way. And we're talking again about the mind. Not talking about your soul. If you're worried about something, get off yourself, okay? Life isn't about us. Life comes out from us. It isn't about us. Life's supposed to be flowing out from us. Well, nothing flowing out if you're in pain. And sorrow surrounds you. And the terrors of death encompass you. You're running for your life. Usually. He says, they've fallen upon me. When something falls on you, it's pretty tough, isn't it? It's like a piano coming out of the sky. And it feels like it almost every time. What's happening? Why is this happening? Then it says, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Now, we're going to find out something to me today that I didn't know was a definition of death. You're going to find out a definition of death today that's going to blow you away. And when we understand that, when we understand the key verse, that from darkness the heart is raised up, out of darkness, well, it can't be raised up just because Jesus said it is. Or it can't be raised up because of an atonement. You've got to know it. You have to know this truth intimately. 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 You've got to know the darkness intimately to get out of it. Or you'll hide it. You'll cover it up. You'll defend it. You'll promote it. I don't want to do any of that anymore. I'm beginning to feel a peace that's overwhelming me instead of trembling and feeling terror and fear. I like that. I'm liking this, what I'm feeling. And I know the difference now. It doesn't mean I don't go back through the revolving door, but I've slowed mine down about 20% now. It's got a little potentiometer on it, and it can be going, 100 miles an hour, or it can be going 10. I'm probably about 50 maybe now, okay? And I'm never going to say it stops. I'll never say it stops because to me that's an attitude of repentance. And it has nothing to do with anything wrong with me. We've got to separate the spirit from the flesh, okay? Separate the spirit from the flesh. Here is the spirit, which is the Father. It's not a me. It's not a human being. It's not a person that's running around here to and fro across the earth trying to get something. That's not the Father. He's not trying to get anything. He says, I'm already all you need. And it's got nothing to do with material supply of any degree. Any degree. Full stop. I don't care what it is. And now I understand Paul's verse better, where it says, to be carnally minded is death. Because there's nobody dies. To be carnally minded is death. Nobody dies. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Not eking out a living by the sweat of your brow. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. And when they talk about those two things side by side, it's really one meaning. Life and peace are synonymous. You can't have life without peace, and you can't have life, and you can't have peace without life, okay? They go hand in hand. So to be carnally minded is death. Here's David again. I love David. Remember when he said, I was in hell, and God started talking his brains out to me. Oh, let's go back to the main verse again. Here we go. From darkness you raise hearts. Hello. I was in hell, and the pains of death got hold of me, and I heard your voice. He didn't say he was hearing it before that, did he? From darkness you raise hearts. And here's David saying the same thing. How did they become a desolation in a moment? The thoughts of man, the legions, the thoughts of man. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream which seems real until one awakens. I just said that. And I said it before I found the verse. And then I found the verse and I said, holy hallelujah, there it is. You know, I can trust my spirit within me that I'm getting a witness. And so that's what I do. I make all these recordings and then I spend my time finding scripture that lines up with it. And you know what? It's getting where that isn't too hard anymore. I'm not having to go in there and I'm finding a lot of them. Today I had to just shut my Bible software off because I had 100 of them come up on this one keyword. I said, man, that'll take me an hour to sift through all these. I just would like one. As a dream, which seems real. What's the dream that seems real? Being satisfied with the answers to our problems is a dream. It's all a dream. Because we build up this war chest then of how to fix things. And somehow we've identified that with having a blessed spiritual life. We've built it up over time. See, this is the good side of the wrong tree. See, there's tentacles that are hooked to good things that have happened to our lives. Two, those are the hardest ones to pull out because they have to do with the activity of man in this world, right? So we're in there all the time trying to pull some of the evil ones off, right? But there's all these good ones over there. They're stuck down so hard they got super glue on them, okay? Those don't want to budge because somehow we identify with good things happening in this world as coming from God. God's not a God of good and evil. God's not a God of punishment and reward. He says, I am your reward. Will you be satisfied with that? And quit asking me for something. Gee, many Christmas. Hello. You've been praying to gods that can't save you. That's a God that's going to give you something. A God can't save you if you just keep coming back and you want something more. You're never going to be saved. See? You've been praying to those gods. He says, they're not real. Hello. He said, did you forget about me? Go look it up in Isaiah. Read it in some of the other Amplified and the Message. It's all there. I've read it to you many times before. When are you going to quit praying for something? Jesus said prayer was thanksgiving. First thing he said was, thank you, Father. Yep. As a dream which seems real until one awakens, so, O Lord, when you arouse yourself to take note. Uh-oh. When you arouse yourself in me, when you arouse yourself in me to take note of the wicked. Here we go. That's a bad word, isn't it? The wicked is just the mind of man. Plural. It's the minds of men. That's what wickedness is. It's just you listening to your mind. And being controlled by the answers to all of your problems in life. Why is it called wickedness? Because it separates you from your Father. It separates you from yourself that's trying to arouse you. Come out of the dream, Mike. Come out of the dream. It's okay. I'm all you need for life and godliness. I'm all you need, Mike. Come out of the dream. Come out of the dream, Mike. Wake up. He says, my heart was grieved and embittered and in a state of ferment, and I was pricked in my heart as with the sharp fang of an adder. This is the Amplified. I discovered I was so foolish and stupid and brutish was I, and ignorant, and I was like a beast. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you? Boy, that's quite a flip, isn't it? How did he ever see that I was continually with you when he just said he was a beast? Let's go back to the main verse again. What does it say? From darkness you raise hearts. Okay, there it is again. Excuse me. I know this is painful. I know it's painful, but we're trying to kill this ego, okay? Because it's your only enemy, by the way. It's the only enemy you've got. Your neighbor isn't your enemy. Unbelievable verse, Psalm 73. Unbelievable. This is the Amplified. I'm reading right straight from it. I added one little word, the mind of man, in there when it said wicked, because I already know that's what it is. So I just added that in there. I have a whole lesson on it, so I'm convinced that's what it is. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to honor and glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? Now, where's heaven? In Revelation, it says the habitation of God is with man. Heaven's where God is. Whom have I in heaven but you? The kingdom, the door to the kingdom is within you. It's joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. It's not get something. That's where you start. And if you're at peace and you go out from there and you buy homes and cars and do all those things, I'm fine with all of that if it follows peace. I'm fine with all that stuff if it follows peace. I don't care what anybody's doing. I don't want to follow people around and judge them for what they're doing. But I do want you to be at peace. And if you think getting $1 million is going to give you peace, I'm telling you right now, it's temporary. And it's not the peace I want. And if you want to look at the lottery winners in the world, 80% of them are bankrupt in a short time. 80% of them. Because that thing that wants it never gets satisfied. It's never satisfied. When will you be satisfied with what you have? So that what you get you can use correctly. Yeah, when will you be satisfied with it? Because that's when things get in line. Whom do I have in heaven but you? I have no delight or desire on earth besides you. Here he just said he gave up his delight and desire, didn't he? So I want to go back and talk about a touchy subject again, but it comes up. It's like a pack of mad dogs roaming around. So I got to bring it up again, and it's the word health. I'm going to bring it up again. And I want to remind everybody, nothing's wrong with you when you're experiencing difficulties with your body. Okay? It's a difficult one. But we're going to find out what's behind. What's behind all this? I mean, the whole Christian Science focused on metaphysical things, you know, you sit and meditate long enough and you start feeling better and you attribute it to your meditation and coming in line with God because God doesn't get sick, see? And why are you blaming God for any of that? What's God got to do with any of that in that equation, see? You're back to a God that's forgiving and and guilt and reward and punishment, and you're going back and you're back running around Mount Sinai again. So leave it all. Leave it all behind. Get off the results of it. But I got to talk about it again because there's people that I love that are suffering with these things, and they need to know first there's nothing wrong with you. Now, what's wrong is we've got understandings built up within our minds that are attached to things that aren't true. That's what's wrong. And so we're going to expose them. We need to expose them. So what's the real, you know, the real problem with health isn't health. You know that, don't you? I'm going to tell you what it is. The reason we are so consumed about health and diets and eating and 5 million things is just one thing. And it's going to be embarrassing. Can I embarrass everybody's ego? Okay. It's because we're still afraid of death. We're still afraid of death. That's the problem. We haven't gotten rid of it. Death is the problem. It isn't health is the problem. It's death. We're still afraid of death. We still, to some level, believe in death. It isn't right at our door, but we still believe in death. And I've been convinced forever. I've read 1,000 verses that said it. Tony said it for years. There's no such thing as death. But again, it's just words if I don't believe it. It's just words if I don't understand why. And we're going to find out why. We're going to find out exactly why death is such a big problem. Health isn't the problem. Health is a byproduct of the problem. Okay? It's an outer circumstance that's hiding the real problem. And the real problem is the fear of death. David just said it. He didn't say the fears of health surrounded me. He said the fears of death surrounded me. He hadn't even got to health yet. The fears of death surrounded me. And where in the world do you find health in the Bible? Jesus said, I've come to give you health. Did he say, I've come to give you healing? Did he come, did right after he get done in Luke yesterday, did he start healing classes for everybody there to teach him how to heal? No. He says, I'm sorry, but the kingdom of God does not come with observation. But they kept coming back to him with what?
Problems.
Yeah. And it never ended because we discovered that he was rejected by that generation. And it mostly hasn't. That's right. Mostly. And we're still flirting with death, aren't we? We're still playing with death. Raise your hand, not here, just raise your hand in your heart. Expose the heart so you can be delivered. We're still afraid of death. We have a sense of death, and it's sort of unknown for us. It's fuzzy. Even that, it's a little fuzzy. Why? Because we think we're going to lose something. We think we're going to lose something. That's an illusion as well, isn't it? This is a pretty big merry-go-round here. This is a big, great big one. This has got a couple diesel engines strapped to her, and it's flying, okay? This one. It's flying. Now, I'm going to read a verse that proves this to you. It's so dead on, and I didn't see it. I felt it, but I just saw it dead on in my eyeballs right in front of me like a big semi. It just screeched on its brakes, and I'm going, holy smoke, here it is. I'm going to go to Hebrews 2, and I want you to listen to me read it first, then you can look it up because we're going to read it again. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. This isn't good news yet, okay? For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same. That's not good. It wasn't good for Jesus, right? But why did he do it? Because he came down to show us the way out. Not to do the way out, to show us the way out. And he showed it to us by words. There were deeds that followed, but we, of course, in our egocentric mind, we focused on all the deeds and not the words. And so we're like clouds without rain, okay? We just focus on the healing. Everybody's talking about healing all the time. We got a healing ministry. We got a healing ministry, you know. People out there's turned into a business. Infinite Way has practitioners that hound you for money. Only if you get something. One of them was calling me and said somebody called and said, pray because I lost my tennis shoes. And this person, I'm not going to say who it was a leader of a large group and said, I was so honked off because they didn't send me a check. Those tennis shoes probably cost $200. It came right out of their mouth. I didn't say a word. I'm saying it now. But I didn't say the word. You know why I didn't say a word? I was so grateful for all of the wonderful truth that was coming from these people. I just had to shut up. I said, I don't know nothing. I can't say no to that. I couldn't say no to any of it because I didn't want to miss something. But I didn't have a feeling of peace inside me about it ever. And then I found out that part of that's been in our ministry as well. And Tony and I have had a long talk about it. And we both said, we've got to run away from this stuff. Mm-hmm. We've both said it. We're in agreement on it. But it's been coming up a lot. And he said it. He also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Ooh. Who's the devil, folks? Tell me. Who is the devil? Rex is pointing to his brain. Rex, you get the gold ribbon and 5 stars and a free steak dinner. Okay? You should have been quicker about that, Jerry. You were a little slow on the draw. Jesus likewise took part of the same flesh and blood. Nobody knows this Jesus. Nobody thinks there was a holy icon that never even farted once. And he certainly didn't look at a woman and lust after her, and I'll guarantee he did. Because he said he became like unto his brethren in every respect. He felt the pains of death. The pains of death surrounded him, just like it did David. He was the son, the descendant of Jesse. Why? He didn't know who he was when he came out of the womb. Would he come out of the womb reading the Leviticus or something? Before he could even drink milk? He pop out of the womb and read Genesis word for word from memory? He didn't have a memory yet. He didn't even know what a memory was. That's craziness, isn't it? You know, I mean, I believe in the virgin birth, but it don't help me. You know, if I say he was holy when he come out of the womb, that don't help me any, does it? Because he wasn't holy coming out of the womb. It said he partook of death. Well, did you know that? Do you know when death happens? It happens to you right now when you leave your world. That's when you die. When you leave your world and all the answers to your problems behind, your ego dies because it quits wanting something. It stops wanting something. And in that, you'll not be harmed by the second thing that's called death out there. And you quit believing in this other thing that's death when you just disappear and turn into the puff of smoke you were before you started believing you were somebody. Because you started out as a puff of smoke and you're going to return to a puff of smoke. And anything you ever did, Solomon said, is vanity and is going to be as though as if it never were. And you think, wow, maybe I don't even want to go there. I like all my memories. And I like people I'm around. Well, you're not going to forget anybody that you know. You're just going to know them in a different way. Okay, that's all. You're just going to know them in a different way. It will be a glorious way. Without judgment is exactly right. And who have you been around that you've never judged? And the answer should be nobody. Right, Diane? I've judged her 1,000 times. And she don't even know about the 99.9% that I haven't. No, it's lower than that. She knows about more than that. But there has been times I've withheld it. But it was painful to withhold it. And I'm just saying, this ain't fun either. There's got to be another way. Well, the way is the prime directive, isn't it? That's the way. That's the first sentence you hear when you enter into the kingdom, is quit judging by appearances, Mike, and step in to the kingdom of righteousness, where you first begin to start to judge in righteousness, and you quit seeing problems in people, or you at least quit agreeing with your mind that's in terror. You just quit agreeing with it. It's still going to spin. Let her spin. And if you got all this stuff you want to spew out, go out behind the barn and bark at your dog or something. He won't hear a word you're saying. Take your dog out there on a leash and just tell him everything you want to tell that person. Say it. What do you want to say to God? He'll just go, I still love you. He'll just go, I still love you. You're okay. He'll just keep saying how much he loves you. And you can say anything you want to that dog. Okay? Anything you want. The dog will come back and lick you like crazy when you're out. He might be a little timid, you know, if you raise your voice, right? But he'll come right back and love you to death, won't he? Huh? That's God. That's God. That's God. You give him anything you want, because he don't hear any of it that changes how we don't change God one little bit. We don't do nothing that makes God do anything, and we can't ask him for anything. He's not a vending machine. That's the God I know, okay? The power of death is your mind. The power of death only is in your mind. It's just an imagination. Here it is, plain as day. And he came to reveal that. He said he made an open display of it. So Jesus had already judged the devil. He said he's already been judged, and he hadn't even been to the cross yet. And he judged him when he said about his own mind that I'm going to leave this world and go to the Father, where peace dwells, where righteous judgment dwells, where I'm now loving my neighbor as myself. I'm loving my neighbor the way I want to be loved. That's the only way you're going to receive that kind of love. It's the only way. And he came, it says, to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We got the key point right there. All of our bondage has to do with our fear of death. All of it stems from the fear of death. Because from death, what happens just under death? The cause of death is the mind, and we're mind-formed creatures living in a temporary world in temporary bodies, and it's vanishing away. As the lightning began last night, goes from the east to the west, so shall the life of the Son of Man be. And Jesus was saying that about himself, but he was defining every one of us. How much can you hang on to between lightning strikes when it happens in a fraction of a second, according to the Father? And we're in here between these lightning bolts, hanging on all this stuff, and it's all getting fried by 60,000 volts. And there's nothing left but a pile of smoke, and we call that life. It's insanity is what it is. Now, we see it moving out here because to us, the lightning bolts are striking about one every, you know, one at 1 year and one at 75 years or 80 years or 85 years when the lightning. But God says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm going to bring it all together for you right now. If you believe in what I tell you, I'll bring it all together right now. So this death thing's a big deal. Right? The power of death, right there, the power of death is the devil. I feel so silly. I believed in a devil with a pitchfork. I did. I used to preach it. Man, did I preach it. I preached it out of Job, and I mean, it sounded good too. I had people sitting there, wow. That's revelation. It wasn't revelation. It was a bunch of lies. And I'm raising my hand and saying, boy, that was one of the best deceptive revelations I've ever got. It was a good one. Because I was in New York traveling around teaching the sovereignty of God, which I believe in it. But if you understand the sovereignty of God, it means he doesn't have power over anything. Because there's nothing out there that he needs to have power over. I didn't understand the teaching of the infinite way and the fact that this all is an illusion. not what's going on. The judgment of what's going on is an illusion, right? Don't judge the world out there. Love your neighbor, it says. Don't be judging the government and Russia and terrorists and China, and who will step in front of all that? Even while it's all going to hell in a handbasket. Well, could there be somebody step in front of that and saying there's nothing out of order in the kingdom of God? And that's where I dwell. That's where I dwell, where there's nothing out of order and nothing needs to be fixed and nothing needs to be changed. And out of all those concepts comes death, comes the power of death. And it's the devil, our mind, that's creating all these things, and he's got an army. The guy said there was legions of them. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. How did he defeat the power of death? Because he was made like unto his brethren, and out of the darkness his heart was exposed unto righteousness. Jesus had to learn who he was, just exactly like we do. Jesus had to enter into time where we are and tell us who we really were. Mike, wake up out of the dream, Mike. Wake up. What you think you need, you don't need. You might get it, you might not. Is that okay? Sure, God, it's okay. That problem's gone. How about the next one? Boom, they fall off. How about the next one? You got to keep coming back. Because they're all death to you. All of it's death to you. It's just the mind craving something outside of the kingdom. It's on the back of the door. Enter here if you want something. That's what it says. It's the kingdom, the door to the kingdom of hell says, enter here if you want something. Enter here if there's many gods that you could pray to and you ask them for something over here. But they're all fake. The power of death, that is the devil, he destroyed him before he ever got to the cross. On the cross, it said he was made sin and became a serpent. He died as the serpent man. That was the death. He died as the serpent. He said he was made sin. It didn't say he sinned. It said he was made sin, which is far worse. And died. That's how he died as us. But then he said to you, you've got to lose your life to find it. We can't look at that and say it's vicarious and have it mean anything to us, because our ego just smothers it over with temporary relief when we say those things. I do believe Jesus did it all, but it took him 33 years to do it all. In hell is where he did it all. Well, let's go back up to the verse again, the main verse. Where did he do it? From darkness his heart was risen. He entered into darkness. And what does that mean? We think it, when we hear the word darkness and evil and wickedness, we think of all the little dirty deeds, you know. I feel that song, AC/DC, Dirty Deeds. You know, you remember that?
Yes.
We're all on the dirty deeds, you know. And we ought to start playing that in church service, you know. Dirty deeds, you know. When we think all this stuff, we think of dirty deeds. Guess what? It's got nothing to do with the dirty deeds. If you're focused on the dirty deeds, you're 1,000 times removed from the problem. Just like if you're focused on health, you're as far away from solving the problem as you are with the others. There are just layers upon layers upon layers that remove you away from the problem, which is your fear of death. And that's the title of this lesson, but I didn't want to tell you until now because I figured people would run away if I said that at the beginning. The title of the lesson is the fear of death. You know, and I raise my eyebrows. Everybody's going to leave. But I want the darkness to push me into the light. I want to be shoved in by the darkness. I'm not looking for it, believe me. but I certainly want it to be exposed. And that's what it says, from darkness you raise hearts. The Holy Spirit illuminates the dark places of the heart of your servant. Places, by the way, places, plural. So you say you've had one-time experience, you just took care of one place. Places. Never say the revolving door stops, because it means you're stuck on the wrong side of the door and you won't get back in. You can't ever say it stops. I don't even want to say it slowed down. But I can tell you this, I feel a heck of a lot more peace than I did a year ago. I feel a lot more peace, and that's drawing me. It's drawing me. The Father's drawing me into His presence. And I feel that, and I feel it continuously. I do feel it continuously. And now, I'm much more sensitive when the other issues come. I know what they are now. I know how to divide the flesh from the spirit much better than I did a year ago. Enough so I can share it with you and teach it to you. But I'm still going, my door's still moving. Remember I said mine's probably about 50 miles an hour. You know, I don't know if it was 100 or 200 or 60. I don't know. I don't want to go by percentage. I don't even like to tell you about miles per hour, but it's just a good example, right? So, back to this key verse. The key verse for today is Hebrews 2:14 and 17a. I don't want to be subject to bondage all my lifetime. I don't want to be subject to bondage. I'm sick of bondage. And I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I just want it exposed. I don't care if people say, well, boy, that guy's been through hell. You can't trust him. And he's right next to you. In the same compartment. He's over there throwing wood on the fire. Oh, boy. Hey, at least we're having a little bit of fun, huh? Okay. So now, a month ago, I was reading about the extinction of man. And that man has a fear that he'll become extinct. And you say, oh, I don't believe that. You better be careful. You better be careful. Man believes he's going to become extinct. It's talked about all the time. We think because we call ourselves Christians, we believe in life after death, and there's no such thing as life after death. There's no such thing. Right. So you say you don't believe in extinction, really? You better be careful, because I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to be embarrassed if your ego says you don't. You'll be embarrassed, so you better be quiet. So you don't believe in extinction, then that means you don't believe in death. Same thing. And you consumed with health? See, if you're consumed with health, you believe in death, you believe in death, you believe in extinction. Sorry. It's all connected. Mm-hmm. So you don't believe in extinction, really. So you don't believe in death then, if you don't believe in extinction. So then why are we consumed with health? And again, it's because we're afraid of death. Father, what is it? What truth do I need to know that delivers me from the fear of death, the bondage? Through all their lifetime, subject to bondage. Why? It said because of the fear of death. The power of death is the devil. The power of death is your mind looking for something more than what you already have. You're right, but you're clear back to Abraham, guys. God comes and says, I'm your reward. And the first thing he says, well, what do you give me? He says, well, boy, that's a pretty big reward, but I need a son so I can give it to when I die. but there's no such thing as death. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I don't want to do that. So all these words are in agreement with each other. It starts with the fear of death. Then it starts with the power of death. So it's the power of death. Death can only come from the mind of man. That's why it's true to say nobody ever dies. Your ego is going to die, but it's just a phantom. So there's actually going to be relief there. Okay? Who are you? Think about your history. You do all the time anyway. Who are you? Well, we know who we really are, but who are we when we believe in death and we're trying to solve issues to all of the circumstances in life? We are, and this is really, you got to hear this, because it's so true and it's so humbling. What we think we are is just a collection of memories. If you didn't have a memory, you wouldn't know who this phantom man was. It'd be gone. And we studied it in The Birth of Ego, that if a child was on an island by himself, raised by wolves, he'd never know he had an ego. Or if he was just there and coconuts dropped on him once a day, you know. He wouldn't have an ego. And where'd we say the ego began? In Adam all die. Why do we and Adam all die? Because from our birth, our parents have we've been a reflection of our parents' idea of ourselves. And so it's nobody's fault. But we got to break out of it now. Okay? I want to break out of it now. But really, if you've got a memory, who we think we are is just a collection of memories. That's why Solomon said man is like a puff of smoke, that everything man does under the sun's vanity. Everything. We're just a collection of memories. This phantom man is just a war chest of thoughts. Screwed together. And then you make packs, and then you come up with systems, and then you got a Moose Lodge or a Baptist church or a Elks Club. Or we got our own little social cliques together. This personality, this reflection that you call by your own name is just a vanishing vapor. So you're just a collection of thoughts trying to find life and the answer to your circumstances. This is painful, guys. It's painful. Because you know why it's painful? Because we're still attached to it. There's still attachment there. Let's keep going back to this verse. We're not going to get delivered until this darkness is exposed. This is darkness. This is deep darkness we're getting to now. Mm-hmm. This is deep level darkness, okay? I believe we're scraping the bottom. We're pretty close to scraping the bottom here, which excites me, okay? I'm excited about that. I don't want to run from it, but it's hard to hear. Well, why is it hard to hear? Because the ego doesn't like what I'm saying. That's why. The ego doesn't like it. But you're never going to go know your true self until you die to all the memories you've stored up in your war chest. You'll never know the real you. It's always been there. God said, before you were born, I made you holy. Well, born to what? All your memories? All your history? All the reflections that you've been demonstrated to your whole life since you're a little boy? And the older you are, the more there is. Sorry, Rex. I got 56 years of them myself. Whew. Took a while. But God's not in a hurry. There's no hurry. God's not in a time zone. It's always now and it will ever be now. And so don't rush home and get into panic because you want to clean out your war chest, you know. Just say, Father. I love, there was this little girl that I saw one time. She was just a cute little blonde girl with curly hair. And she just kept saying, "Teach us your truth, O Lord. Teach us your truth, O Lord." And I remember when I watched her and she said it, my heart melted. "Teach us your truth, O Lord." In the stillness of the night, in the stillness of the darkness, is where we're taught truth. We have to become still in the darkness to move into the light. We've got to find stillness in the darkness. Quit running from it, because if you're running from it, you're promoting it. So stop running from it. "Teach us your truth, O Lord." Be like a little child. So you're just a collection of thoughts trying to find life and the answers to your circumstances, and that's not real living. It's called dying. It's dying. It's vanishing away. Everything I just said is vanishing away, and it's not life. The mind of man tries to make sense of things, believing that you can receive a blessing from God because you understand truth in a deeper way. This is just leftover fragments of the greater darkness. We don't get blessing from understanding truth. We die from understanding truth. We die when we understand truth. So if you're trying to get blessings, you aren't dead yet. You're still kicking. Receiving that receive blessing from God because you understand truth in a deeper way is a lie. It's just leftover fragments of the greater darkness that is still hidden beneath this reflection of an ego. And what did we say the ego was? I think it's probably an unbelievable truth that you, I hope you never forget, but your ego is just a collection of your memories. So maybe we could all put in a little high voltage socket every morning, you know, maybe 220, Jerry, what do you think, 440? You plug it, you know, and it clears your memory out before each day. So you can enjoy the day. That doesn't sound like a bad idea if it worked. That sounds like a bad idea. Why do people go out and party their brains out and drink their brains out? Because they can't think about anything. That's why it's fun. Because they forget about what they're doing. I don't even know if they even know they're alive. For the moment, that's for sure, right? But you forget it. If you get really tanked, you don't remember a thing. The reflection of an ego. What does that reflection do? It shines back out. And like Lot's wife, we keep peeking back at the appearances to some degree. We don't trust something, and so we keep peeking back. And we believe, and when we peek back, we somehow think we're still receiving favors from God. And God says, "I'm not a respecter of persons." That means He sees every person on the face of the earth the same way, whether they're being murdered, killed, starved, whatever it is, God sees them all the same. Because He doesn't see the illusion of passing time, and it's hard to swallow that. God sees every soul of man the same way. And what we see out here passing away in time is not reality. And we too pass away in time, as we found out, right? But now we can reach out outside of time, reach back in, and become fishers of men. By saying, "I no longer want to be a memory of my past. I no longer want to live there. I don't want to live there anymore." So someday, your last day, a trumpet will sound. So I'm going to give you a little good news now. We've been tearing down, right? We're tearing down so we can build up. But someday, your last day, a trumpet will sound and you'll realize that time is no more. And you will begin to realize that you can never be the center of your universe. You never could be the center of your universe because the center of the universe has to shine out from you. Has to. Has to go out from you. Can never come in. We can't go around and collect things. What are we collecting? The answers to our problems. If you are listening right now, you're beginning to hear that you are the light of the world. But you can't hear it until you get through the door. You can't hear it because you're still wanting something. You're still looking for something. And the thing you want is attached. It could be many year level or many levels down to the memories you've brought in and your experiences you've had, because this has happened before. And like Job, you say, everything I feared has come upon me. Well, that can only come from your history. Everything I feared has come upon me. You are the light of the world, but it can't shine. It can only shine in one direction, and that's outward. Right? And it starts when you begin to judge the world in righteousness. But you can't judge the world in righteousness if you've got some issue you're trying to get an answer to. You can't. You can't do it. The light always is shining in righteous judgment. It always is. And there's nobody that's ever tried to argue with me about that, thank God. Because it's about as pure a statement as you can get. The light always shines in your righteous judgment. We believe that there's an afterlife. And if we believe there's an afterlife, we believe in death. And it's never been, none of it's been true. Because there is no afterlife, because there's only really one life. And that life can't be destroyed. And it never had a beginning and it'll never have an end. And it's always existed. It still does exist. And it only exists when you quit watching the clock. Why do we watch the clock? Because we're afraid something's going to happen. Now, granted, we'd like to meet on time so we can all listen together. You know, we use the clock, but we don't need to let the clock control us, right? So I want to close with just something that happened as I drove out this morning out of the driveway. And that's a little thing, but I just wanted to share it with you to give you a tool that will help you. So as I drove out my driveway this morning and approached the highway, it was about 6:30. And when I came to the entrance, I looked at a car that was approaching. And those of you that know me know I've got some pretty fast cars, right? So I don't tend to wait too much, you know, when I have those cars. I could have easily pulled out and made my way. But I decided to wait this morning. And the moment, and I didn't decide to wait, I heard the word wait. It said, just wait. Just wait. Just wait. And I all of a sudden realized this had a significant meaning. And so it's a key. It has a significant meaning as we move into the kingdom of God, where it says, wait upon the Lord. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait and expect you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. So now, we've learned to let go of our troubles. We've learned the reason, one of the main reasons we're suffering is because we have the fear of death, because we're looking for answers to our circumstances. And so when we find ourselves in a dilemma, what do you do? Well, there's two things. One I learned a long time ago. Here's another one. One I learned a long time ago, if I don't know what to do, don't do anything. Because I really realize God's not in a hurry and he doesn't live by the clock. That thing doesn't affect God one bit. You can go back and read scripture. It talks about where all that came from. And it was written in one of the books of Enoch, where they developed all this stuff. It's all written out. I read it. How are we preserved? Once we enter into the kingdom, how are we preserved in this dwelling place where joy and peace and righteousness dwells? It says we wait upon the Lord. And so this morning, and I was waiting for this car and waiting, it was a ways away. I could have pulled out three times. But he said, wait. Wait, you don't have to go in front of the car. And then I heard, the last will be first. As I waited, I realized there was no anxiousness in my waiting. It was gone. Isn't that beautiful? There was no anxiousness in my waiting. Nothing was demanding of me when the kingdom of God might come. So it says we're redeemed out of our troubles, and we're preserved in uprightness as we wait upon the Lord. He will direct your paths and lead you beside the still waters. This is why we sing, be still and know. This is why we sing that. So I'd like to just be still now. Those of you who are watching, we'll be back at 2 o'clock. If it's the camera's not on, be patient, but we'll just be still here for a couple minutes, and then we will see you this afternoon.